Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change and how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community. This is a program, an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX. It's made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. What is the quality of life like in San Luis Obispo County? Do residents feel safe? Do people feel like they have access to good schools and services? Is our community healthy? These are just a few of the questions that the Consortium of Public and Private Health, Education, Business, Environmental, Human Service, and Civic Organizations set out to answer when they began the Action for Healthy Communities project in late 1990s. Action for Healthy Communities provides survey results and data through a comprehensive report called Vital Signs, Understanding San Luis Obispo County. Today we'll be discussing this project, how it serves the community, the results of the latest Vital Signs report, and my guests with me today are Lenz Mulberg, Grants Manager with Community Foundation SLO County and member of Action for Healthy Communities Steering Committee, and Jeff Legato, Chair of Action for Healthy Communities and a Geographic Information Systems Specialist for the County of San Luis Obispo in the Planning and Building Department. Today's show is live, and we invite you to join our conversation with your comments and your questions by calling 781-3875. I'll give you that number again. It's 781-3875. And welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So, you know, this particular report has been done now for how long?
This report started in 99, was our
first
report.
Okay, so that's the first report came out?
Report came out in 99, and we've been doing them every 3 years, pretty much ever since then.
So it's updated every three?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. And what does the report, I mean, how is it constructed? How do you even come up with the report?
Well, the report is focused on seven key indicators that have been tracked since 99. So those would be basic needs in the community, housing, economy, public safety, education, health, natural and built environment. So there's some trend data going back all the way to 99 that shows us different changes in our community, needs in our community, areas of growth, opportunity, obvious challenges. So that's how the report. The focus of the report is to continue to gather trend data, share it with the community. And the community is a pretty broad word. It's just different audiences that are
county-wide.
Able to access this. Yeah,
yeah, it's a countywide report. Getting to a final report is a lengthy process, and you know because you're involved as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, we go round and round on which questions to ask, which questions to keep. We're always being badgered by our consultant to drop questions because the report goes so long, or not the report, the questionnaire.
Mm-hmm.
So to try to keep the questionnaire down, the target is below 15 minutes, I believe, and I think we were at, what?
22.
So we just try to squeeze in as many questions as we can just to get as much information as we can from the community. And getting here is quite a challenge, you know, and, you know, our action is made up of numerous people from various different nonprofits and for-profits and different agencies throughout the county. And they all have a role in creating these questions and getting this report to the point where it is now.
Are the same questions asked? I mean, you've been doing this since 1999. So is there value in having a report that is done every 3 years? This is a survey tool also, correct? Report is the result.
Right.
And then what you're doing is you're putting together a survey. And that's your questionnaire that you're talking about?
Right. So we send the questionnaire out. Our consultant manages that aspect where they do a random telephone survey. And that gets they do that countywide. And they have they survey enough people. They get enough respondents to where they can break the county down into like five geographic regions.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also have a face-to-face survey, which they can target. And this time around, it was targeted more towards homeless and Spanish speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And they coordinate with Transitions Mental Health and Lynn, help me out here.
CAPSLO.
Okay.
Community Action Partnership, Slo
mm-hmm.
County.
Mm-hmm. And so they coordinate with these other agencies to get as many people as they can to answer the questionnaire and give us our data.
So the questions are, these questions are mailed to people and they return them, or they call them? Mm-hmm.
They call them. They're cold call, I believe, a phone call.
And this year we included cell numbers.
Oh, you included cell numbers.
For the first time.
Okay. And more people have cell phones now than... probably landlines, right?
Yeah, definitely. But also the methodology. So there's the face-to-face surveys that take place. There's the phone calls that take place. And that's the primary data. There's also the secondary data we collect from other reports that are available to when we're gathering this information from different statistics from countywide agency, government agencies, to where when we're talking about public safety, we're able to talk about, you know, here our home county, but also how do we compare it on the statewide level and to other counties statewide.
So this report not only reports locally, but then compared to the rest of California. And that's information. So your information isn't just from the survey. It's really broader than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And there's actually some pieces of national data when it comes to cost of housing. You know, we have the local, local cost of housing in the county, but we'll have some surrounding counties who are our neighbor counties. We have statewide cost of housing. We have national data to kind of show the differences, but also, you know, some of the challenges or areas of growth opportunity throughout the state when it comes to housing and the need to discuss it as a priority as different policymakers look at this issue.
Do you try and stay with very similar questions in as many areas as you can so that there's some consistency? Because you mentioned the word trending. So in order to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. We try to keep a lot of our questions the same. Many of the questions have been asked since the very beginning. And as we sit around as a group and debate if we want to change questions, if we want to drop questions, if you want to add questions, we try to keep the ones that are very popular that we've been asking over and over again, mm-hmm. keep those in there so we do have the trend data. And we can go back all the way to 99 and see how the county's changed or the perceptions or whatnot.
And then how long does it take you to actually put this together, implement it? And do it. I mean, you're doing it every 3 years. Yeah. How much of that 3 years?
It takes about 3 years.
3 years to do it.
Seems like it. we have some other things going on in the meantime. So after the report's done, and where we're headed in the next, you know, in the coming months here, we're going to start worrying about folios. So we have these folios that we release that are a way to dive deeper into the data mm-hmm. and get a kind of glean some more information from it and just kind of explore it in a deeper sense. Because, you know, it is just the questionnaire, and it doesn't really tell you answers to these huge questions. It just gives you numbers. It gives you data back. You can look at the report, but it's not going to, you know, analyze it for you. So the folios give us a chance to kind of see what these numbers are telling us and then kind of look in, why is that? Why are there, you know, what factors are involved here? How do people respond to that? And the folios give a really good chance to explore those.
Can you give me an example of a folio that you did from the last report and what you were able to drill down into?
Well, last report I wrote a folio on the cost of living in San Luis Obispo County. And that was highlighted in the report that, you know, housing prices here, as you may be aware, are expensive. And the report also indicates that pay isn't really equal to what other people get in California. This report also has that. We're paid a little bit less on average than the rest of California, median income. And housing prices are much higher than other areas.
And growing
areas.
Up.
Yeah, and food costs and all these costs amount to a higher cost of living for our area. And that folio kind of dived into that and looked at some of the things that are happening. And at the end of that little folio, and the folios, you know, they're only like 2 or 3 pages. So it's not a huge report or anything, even though it's hard to get that much information distilled down to 3 pages. But at the end of the report, we had some things that can be done, some ways to solve the issue, things to look at as far as.
Can you give me some examples of what came out in for instance, cost of housing,
the
or
cost
affordable
of,
housing?
Well, affordable housing is a little bit out of my expertise, okay. but I know that the county does have several programs that are involved in that are targeting to make housing more affordable for people, mm-hmm. to provide low-income housing and whatnot. They call it workforce housing. You know, you get these big five-bedroom homes. Everybody loves them, but not many people can afford them, and they
right.
take a lot of space. And but, you know, the average wage in the county being what it is, you know, and you're not allowed or you're not supposed to spend more than a certain amount of your income on housing, they can afford, you know, maybe a $250,000 or $300,000 home or something like that to be safe. And those just are smaller homes or duplexes or whatnot, that kind of thing. So I know that the county does have programs that are targeting that to help improve that situation.
How do you see organizations utilizing some of this data?
And, you know, the report itself serves as an indicator, you know, going back to this kind of cliche term of trend, but it's so important to see and identify particular areas of need and challenges in the community. So to Jeff's point, you know, the cost of housing is so high. So this report is able to tell us that, you know, in 2010, the average cost of a home in the county was $350,000.
Uh-huh.
Now in 2016, or, you know, 2017, that same cost went up to $480,000. So there's obviously, you know, people who are in different, run different programs and, you know, make decisions around policy, or just, you know, as residents of the county who are interested in knowing what's happening around them, are able to see a specific trend. You know, there's a growth and increase in cost. What's making that take place? How
right.
can we address it? What are some of the more, you know, vulnerable populations, how are they being impacted by it? The report itself, and then to Jeff's earlier point, it's a pretty diverse group of individuals who come together on a volunteer basis and talk about this, you know, 280-plus page document, and bring in other, you know, key content experts to talk about, you know, environment and public safety and health and, you know, and just how the community could benefit from this information. And from those conversations, we were able to modify the questions that are being asked, you know, point out some of the key challenges that are being, you know, addressed or being flagged out of this report. But kind of going back to it, it's a diverse group of individuals, but this report is a tool. It's an indicator to say, okay, something's happening here. Let's take a data-driven decision-making process and figure out what we could do to make this place a better place to live for all.
Right, right. You're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX, public-supported radio for the Central Coast from Monterey to Ventura County. If you've just joined us, today's show is about Vital Signs 2016, the latest Action for Healthy Communities report on San Luis Obispo County. With me today are Len Smallberg, Grants Manager for the Action for the Community Foundation for San Luis County and member of Action for Healthy Communities Steering Committee, and Jeff Legato, the Chair of the Action for Healthy Communities and a Geographic Information System Specialist with County of San Luis Obispo in Planning and Building Department. Your voice can be part of our conversation today. This show is live and we're taking calls. We'd like to hear from you with your comments and questions. You can join us by calling 805-781-3875. Again, 805-781-3875. So when we're talking about the report, is it been publicly distributed now? How is it accessed, and can just anybody get it?
Yeah, it's on the internet. So
okay.
anybody with an internet connection can get it, and that's at actionslow.org.
Okay.
And it's a PDF format there. We have, you can download the whole thing at once, or you can download chapter by chapter. And I believe we're going to have the all the cross tabs available as well, I believe.
They're already available.
Oh, they're there
so
now? Okay, good.
You could actually download each of the seven, you know, sections of the report. If you're just interested in the economy and you don't want to look through the entire 280-page
right.
report,
right.
which I encourage you to do if you're,
yeah.
you know, we should all be informed about, you know, our community.
Where we are and
yes.
what we, yeah.
But if you're interested in one specific area, specifically one of the seven indicators that we mentioned, you could just pull up that particular section.
Yeah.
And Jeff also mentioned it's a PDF, so it's a searchable document. You could type in a specific specific issue that you're looking mm-hmm. for, and the document you'll be able to walk through and see exactly the information that you're interested in learning more about.
Well, mm-hmm. let's talk a little bit about what kind of information is in there and what kinds of things stood out for you or kind of piqued your interest in this report. Jeff, was there anything that kind of popped a little bit for you?
This report is fascinating. There's all kinds of things that jump out at you looking at this report. Each of the seven sections has all kinds of information, but I know we could start at basic needs and just go straight to that. That's like
sure.
the first chapter, I think. Some of the things that struck me were the difference in the Spanish-speaking respondents versus the other respondents.
And how were they different?
Well, the Spanish speakers were having a harder time, it seems like, just with their quality of life. And 17% of Spanish speakers went without health care. 11% went without food, according to their responses. And 5% went without utilities. So these are things they gave up because they can't afford them, basically.
Right.
Those numbers were much lower for the English speakers, I should say. That was mm-hmm. basic needs. Len, did you want to mention one, or we can trade off? Huh? What is?
Yeah, sure. I mean, for me, it's interesting to see the population and demographics, a bigger picture as well. You know, it's nice to go to one place and see to have all the information. You know, just put together. So, for example, the population, there's about 278,000 people in our county. The percentage-wise, the breakdown of, you know, the ethnic breakdown in the county. That's always interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
One trend that's be interesting to follow is the seniors or individuals. The seniors are defined as someone over 60 for this particular report. They're the fastest-growing population in our county.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
from... it went up from 21% in 2010 to 25% in 2016. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? You know, at this point, I can't tell you, but it's something that's to watch. You know, and once again, this is a objective indicator of data, and then mm-hmm. you know, I'm looking forward to the next version of this report to see where we are with that data, and hopefully along the way between 2016, 2017, and 2019, when the next report comes out, there'll be some action and there'll be some.
Right.
Programs or resources to support particular populations that might be experiencing mm-hmm. some
yeah,
challenges.
Yeah, you could do a whole show on an aging population and what that means for our society.
Well, absolutely. I think some of what you were talking about, Jeff, was the housing too.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah.
in 2016, 59% of the people that had telephone survey response. Spent more than one third of their income paying for housing costs, you know, and the average cost for a two bedroom rental was $1,310 a month in 2016. So, that for an area like this, if you look at the actual average income in the area, was not as sustainable for individuals as well.
Yeah, and you might have a correction like what we saw with the housing bubble. That may happen again. You know, who knows?
Wish
I had my crystal ball, I could capitalize on that.
Right.
But yeah, and it's interesting looking at the housing affordability. I just have I might be looking at the same page you are, but it says, is the amount of money you use to pay for housing, including utilities such as gas, electricity, et cetera, one third or more of your income. And that number is actually, in 2010, it was 62% said they spend a third or more. But it's been going down
mm-hmm.
over the survey. So in 2013, it was 60.7. In 2016, it was 58.5. So there's a little bit of improvement there.
Meaning people moved out.
Or people moved out. Yeah, I guess we can't make any
because
assumptions.
Because they couldn't afford it.
Yeah, they're now renters, so they no longer own their home, I guess. I don't know. That would be worth investigating. Another folio, perhaps.
You know, that would be mm-hmm. another folio. I mean, because it is the raw data, and
this is what the data says,
that,
we don't know why it says
what
that.
What does that mean?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
When we look at the overall demographics too, you were talking about that, the majority of residents, you said the 200 and almost close to 278,000.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of residents, still 69%, were white. About one fifth were Latino, 22%, 4% Asian, and the rest were other races and ethnicities. In 2015, 83% of the population, 5 years and over, spoke English only in home, and 13% spoke Spanish. So there still is a large population of individuals who are Spanish-speaking only. And let's take a call from Amy here. Amy?
Hi.
Hi, did you have a question or comment?
Yeah. I was born and raised in Atascadero, and I'm now 32, at the age where I'm hoping to buy a home for my family. And, of course, very acutely aware that the median housing cost is $480,000.
I'll bet you are.
I'm sorry?
I said, I'll bet you are.
Yes. And I'm curious, do you guys have any statistics on the median income for San Luis Obispo County to compare to that housing cost?
Sure. So right now, it's at about a little over $62,000, which is, if you compare it to the state average, which is about $64,500. So it's a little lower than the state average.
Okay. And that's for a family, for a household, or a person, per adult?
It's a household.
Okay. And then I'm curious, too, if you're saying the fastest growing population is seniors, which I've noticed that trend. And it seems like in Atascadero, I noticed we've been focusing on improving the downtown and getting, you know, nicer restaurants and sorts of things that I feel like appeal to the senior population, as a lot of young families do seem to be moving away to find more affordable housing. I'm curious, are these seniors moving here, or is it just that our population is aging? And is there anything the county is doing to... Are they focusing on attracting more seniors, or focusing on making it, you know, maybe more affordable for young families? Or I'm just curious if you know more about that.
You know, I think it's probably both. You know, the people are aging, and it's a really nice place to retire. If you look around, it's beautiful weather out there today. But also, I don't know, you know, if the county is doing anything to attract seniors to move here.
It just naturally happens because it's a nice place to live, I'm sure.
It's the seventh happiest place
to
live. But you know, it's also, I think your call is a perfect example why this report exists. You being a resident of the county, being able to access this data and being informed about the issues and just challenges, and you know, there's, you see things, you internalize things, and it's the qualitative kind of data piece. But then this report allows you to add the quantitative piece to it, to where now, if you want to speak in front of your city council or meet with your county representative or with your congressman, you could talk. You know, you have the data to back up your concerns. And then, I'm just speaking hypothetically, but that's why the report exists, so we could work together. From a more of a scientific place to prove need and also recognize, you know, successes that are taking place in the county.
And Amy, if you take a look at the data in the report, there's a lot of data that shows trending for the different cities in terms of the population growths, that you can see what's happening with it. It's a lot of information for you to be able to take in. For all of the different areas of the county, it is broken down by the different areas. And the five different areas that Jeff was talking about are the, there are four, and it's the North Coast, the North County, San Luis Obispo County, South Coast. And then North Coast would be inclusive of everything from Santa Margarita through and up to Camp Roberts.
Well, okay.
Okay?
All right.
All
Thank
right.
You so
good,
much.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye. So, you know, that's how someone like Amy, and I mean someone who's a citizen, mm-hmm. could get into this information. This could be someone who maybe for a school project, or someone who's trying to, you know, I'm thinking trying to decide what they want to do with a business and whether or not their business model works. There's data in here about whether or not to start a certain kind of a business in a certain area, correct?
Most definitely.
Yeah, and whether that model would work. How is this particular model useful to organizations, nonprofits, businesses? Mm-hmm. How could they use it?
For nonprofits, it's you know, definitely, and you know, it comes down to grant writing and resource development. There's an opportunity to, you know, there's a lot of amazing work taking place in this county, but a lot of amazing work that the nonprofits are taking on in this county, and they all of them have amazing stories of their impact. And when putting together grant proposals, they could also back it up with a quantitative need, to where it's a well-rounded proposal that allows them to really prove the need or show the need or the specific challenges that their program might be addressing. Kind of going back to how easy it is to navigate this report, and it's all in one place. I mean, you know, I'm really excited to have all this data in one place, to where you just search for a specific topic.
Absolutely.
And it comes up.
Right. You know, because it pulls in state data, it pulls in county data, it pulls in national data, it pulls in local survey data, correct?
Uh-huh.
So you're not having to go out to the county site, to the city site, to the public health site, to the CAPSLO site.
It has multiple sources of information.
Right.
It's not just the survey.
Exactly.
And on the survey as well, in the data report, it also tells you where the data came from, correct?
Oh yeah. Yeah, okay. Everything is sourced in the report.
Okay. Uh-huh. And the name of this report is Vital Signs: Understanding San Luis Obispo County. So if somebody wanted to Google it, they could just Google Vital Signs.
Slo County,
and it would come up.
Yeah. And it's, once again, it's available for free at actionslo.org.
Right.
It's all the reports, but this current report is available on the site, but also all the other reports that were produced before are also available, and they're all broken down by each of the basic indicators. So someone could spend a lot of time going through some very interesting data here that's available specifically just to San Luis County, which is a nice resource to have, as someone in a nonprofit, you know, that's looking to put together some grants, or someone who's in policy development, program development on a countywide level or a regional level. Or if you're, you know, a civics teacher, you know, you want to talk about, you know, local government and local needs, you know, you could send your students to this site.
What a great idea to teach students, mm-hmm. or as a project for a scouting troop, or, you know, as a kid's project, or your own kid,
mm-hmm.
to teach them how to research, how to look for facts. Oh, mm-hmm. my God, what a concept.
Yeah.
to teach them how to research. This is great. You are listening to KCBX, your public radio station, at 90.1 FM San Luis Obispo, 91.7 FM San Linus to Paso Robles, 89.5 Santa Barbara, and on the web at kcbx.org. We're discussing the results of the latest Action for Healthy Communities report, Vital Signs: Understanding San Luis Obispo County. My guests are Len Smolberg, Grants Manager with the Community Foundation, San Luis Obispo County, and member of Action for Healthy Communities Steering Committee, Jeff Legato, Chair of Action for Healthy Communities and Geographic Information Systems Specialist. I can't believe I say that.
You say that every time.
I do. I know. I always say that about you.
You do.
For the County of San Luis Obispo in the Planning and Building Department. Today's show is live, and you can even make it livelier by calling us with your comments and questions to our number at 805-781-3875. Again, 781-3875. And as a grants manager, Len, when you see data from a report like this, how does that play into funding? You know, because as people are applying for grants and grants are being allocated, do you ever look at it from a standpoint of, wow, in this report, we're seeing that there's really an incline in the needs of this particular segment of the population, or we're seeing that this is really a community that is still not getting the relief that they've needed after all of these years? Does that have anything to do with the kind of grants that may be available or funding that may be available?
Definitely. I think all funding is data driven. You know,
yeah,
whenever
I would hope.
a community foundation puts out a request for proposals or a grant opportunity, right, or the county puts out, it's all driven by some data, by identified need, specific need that these funds and resources looking to address. When someone's putting together a proposal, and I'm kind of, you know, repeating myself, but it's true. It's there's just amazing work being done, and it's all the qualitative information. But to be able to actually say, you know, there's this X population is experiencing these specific challenges, because we experience it. They're telling us, but then also say, you know, for the last 20 years, this population has grown, and which means,
right,
by this percentage, which means the need is greater, which means that, you know, they have more, you know, I'm kind of making up a scenario, but that's how it works. This is how data could support someone's request for funding.
Right. Right. I mean, one of the things that reports do show is that, as you mentioned before, there's an increasing population of seniors in the community. There's also an increase in the number of seniors that are unable to support themselves financially. So even though they're moving here, we're not talking about seniors that are necessarily affluent, mm-hmm, who are in a position of being able to any more easily, yeah, afford, mm-hmm, the kind of situation. It may be that their house is the only thing that they really have here.
And then you got to look at the other aspect. You know, there's health, transportation.
Correct.
There's, you know, the social aspect.
Yeah,
all these things that when someone's thinking about seniors and folks who are aging, some of the challenges that they're facing, you know, being, you know, confined to their home, and
right,
what are some of the resources they could access, right? And going back to transportation, so, you know, social,
right,
interaction with peers, and, you know, health, not just going to, you know, for just, you know, the physical health, but the socio-emotional health of being,
right,
able to interact with others. What are we doing to provide resources and support our aging population? Once again, it's a question that we're able to ask before, because it's backed up by this data that's provided in this report.
Mm-hmm.
Which will hopefully encourage some folks to kind of take a deeper look at it and figure out what we could do.
I want to point out that this report is not just about stats about population and stuff, because this particular show, Central Coast Voices, and all the different topics that we've had on it really describe the diversity of this report, because it comes out of, it's an extension of the data,
yeah,
that is driven through this report. So when we're talking about the health of the community, we're talking about the emotional, spiritual, physical, environmental,
right,
you know, health of the community, not
so
just the
aspects,
mental and personal health, mm, of the community. Go ahead.
It's also an opportunity to celebrate some of the amazing work that's being done here in the community.
Yeah.
For example,
right,
the high school graduation rate in our county is 92% compared to the 82% for state overall. That's a huge accomplishment,
yeah,
for,
yeah,
you know, educators in our community, to where maybe someone else from another county could look at this data and reach out to their peers here and say, what are you doing in
right,
San Luis Obispo County to achieve such an amazing goal? Ultimately, you know, setting up a great opportunities for younger individuals to transition out of school into the next phase of their life.
Mm-hmm.
92% graduation rate, it's pretty impressive.
Right. Right. Well, and okay, so we can take that, just that little diddly bit,
mm-hmm,
and if you're trying to offset something that, say, higher cost of living, more difficult finding housing, but you've got people who still want to move here, right?
Right.
Why do they want to move here? The health, the climate,
the
air quality,
right.
And then you've got the schools too. So, mm-hmm, you know, if you're trying to recruit individuals to come in to work for your company, and you're trying to offset some of the negatives You can also point out some of the positives that are here. That doesn't mean that we don't continue to work as a community on the negative, right?
Right.
But we can also, as you were saying, Lynn, tout
the
positive.
Yeah, we can celebrate some of our successes in our our county. Really is special in a lot of aspects. Yeah,
what else have you found?
I mean, there's another, you know, 90% of the respondents, I think Jeff mentioned this, that have health insurance. It's a growth from 82% the previous time survey was conducted. Yeah. And, you know, we can't ignore...
Until 3 years from now.
Well, we can't ignore the current political... You know, this is, again, once again, just an objective report, but it'll be interesting to have the trend data to see how, you know, coverage changes for our community members with the changes in healthcare policy.
But that is amazing considering where it was before, and I think that really speaks to, again, the work that's been done in this community through some of the community health centers, right? The hospitals that have had clinics that are associated with them and physician recruitment.
And we can, I mean, if you gave me a moment, I could look up like the number of people who had health insurance. What did you say?
It was 90%.
90, but the last report
82.
It was 82.
82.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a big
leap. Bump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, the Affordable Care Act came in after that last one. So
it did, during that period of time.
2014.
Yeah, and it would be, and you mentioned, you know, healthcare might be changing. It brings up an interesting point, which would be that, you know, this survey does change with the political climate, with things that are in the news, with things that are impacting our society at this time. So, and our group, you know, we'll get back together with our group of people and have this discussion for the next survey. Do we want to add a question related to, I don't know, how people are feeling? Do general elections stress you out? I mean, we could have questions like that, and you know, we can weigh that as a group and see if we want to add something like that.
Yeah, but the 2010 survey was one that was relatively bleak in terms of people's expectations of economy, because remember it was down in that.
Oh, yeah. And the unemployment rate was really high, 10%, I think. And then now it's 5%.
Right.
So
to provide some specific data on the 2010 report. So one of the phone questions was, do you feel better off this year than last economically? Right. So in 2010, 28% of people said, yes, I do feel better. Now in 2016, it's 34.8, which much 35%, a big jump. Once again, it's kind of an obvious statement, but it's nice to see the actual you know, data in front of us to say that, you know, there is measurable growth and measurable level of confidence when it comes to the economy.
Yeah.
And it's a snapshot.
In 2010, you know, we had 52.3% said they were very concerned about employment. Mm-hmm. And now the number in 2016 is 32.6. So, you know,
that's the big difference.
Indicates how the economy is improving or affecting people.
And you could spend so much time in this report kind of in looking at, you know, current, you know, status of, even if we could kind of go down to the environment. You know, we had amazing, you know, we were in the drought, and then we had some great rain. Yeah. You know, say 2013, you know, a lot of people were
In this report.
Yeah. And then they were satisfied with the road quality. But now the rains, I'm sure, will have an impact on
that.
That's a good
point.
And, you know, unfortunately, it's kind of, you know, it's the data's a little staggered, but it's going to be available for folks to see. You know, we had the storms come through, and we saw our road quality kind of go down, which is obviously, you know, it's common sense. But once again, we'll have the quantitative side of the information to back up the need when it comes to policy and budget allocation and budget prognosis.
So what you're speaking to here is that raw data is just raw data. You also have to take into account what was occurring during that period of time. So if people are extrapolating this data to use for reports, to take it the next step for analysis, which is to really look at, were we in the midst? Because this survey was conducted when we were in the fifth year of a five-year drought, right? So we need to look at some of the data that had to do with water, resources and availability has to be taken into consideration with that. And it may be when they're using that data, hopefully we won't have the challenges that we had in 2016 for the water. But need to take into account and speak to that in whatever report they're writing with.
It's kind of like the butterfly effect. Every action is a reaction, and sometimes it's positive, sometimes it presents a challenge. And once again, it's nice to go back to one report. A report's been around for 20 years, and I'm not trying to toot the report's horn here, but it's true. It's a great resource for, you know, for someone like Amy who called in earlier, who's a resident of the county, to nonprofit agencies who are doing different types of, running different programs in the county, or policy makers. It's just an objective piece of information. And it's pretty, there's a lot of information. It's more than 280 pages if you want to read it front to back.
What's the best way to navigate around this tool online? Is there a better way to navigate it?
I think if you had an idea of what you were looking for, to try to take a stab at what section that might have what you're looking for. So if you have like a health question, there is a health section. Economy, there's an economy section. Each section has it's very well organized. So there's, a table of contents, and each section has its own separate table of contents.
And an executive summary.
And each section has its own little executive summary that you can refer to.
Summary really takes into account for each section what the specific data was, and then just kind of puts it together in a narrative.
It just puts it together in just kind of stark numbers, and they have these little arrows. They have green and red and sideways arrows. So if the stats didn't change, you get a little sideways arrow. And if an indicator went positive, the up arrow. Or if it was going negative, you get the red arrow.
Right.
So there's, a fairly diverse mix.
So if you wanted to go through the report and you were looking for all of those things that got worse, you'd look for all the down arrows.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could look for that. So I don't know, I'm in the health section right now, just a quick red arrow. Percentage of respondents who currently smoke. Smoking went up a little bit.
Yeah.
It went from 11.6 to 17.6. So that's, interesting.
What and the different areas that are covered by this, we spoke to demographics. You mentioned health, but you've got basic needs, which would be things like food.
Housing or shelter, food, shelter, poverty, homelessness, food security, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Would be basic needs.
Okay. And then economy kind of speaks for itself. And then included in the economy is
everything you can imagine about the economy. There's just financial well-being, household income, unemployment rates, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if someone was looking at trying to develop a report or include in something what the unemployment rate is, it's a good place to go for
just
local
jump straight to the
information.
Economy section. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Education.
Yep. Education. There's, let's see. We've got family reading, child care, early childhood education, student enrollment, school capacities, test scores, English learners. There's a section on high school graduation rate, and then there's higher education.
I'm curious, what is the childhood reading questions? I mean, what is that area about?
So there's a question here. Do you read to your child at night?
Okay, and what was the finding?
I think
on that?
It was more detailed. It was like 30 minutes or more. It had like different timings on that. You're hitting me with a question that I don't know the answer right off the top. I'd have to look at it.
I'm testing you.
I know, you are a good tester.
I am.
And this report is organized very well, so I would
look.
See,
I'm making Jeff work for it. All right, we can go.
While I'm looking, that you can go on, and I'll interrupt the next.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, what's under public safety, Lynn?
So one of the questions was, do you feel safe or very safe in your community? And this was done via the telephone. And it's 81% of respondents felt that they feel safe. Another positive, you know, indicator that, you know, our community is fairly safe, and maybe that's why a lot of people are moving here continue to live here. But there's also, you know, the other side of that same question, where only 39% of our Spanish-speaking population felt very safe or safe in the community. You know, the survey doesn't provide the answer of why that they answered the way they did, but it provides an opportunity to dig a little deeper and
it does point out that there is something that is, you know, that needs to be looked into. Mm-hmm. How is it defined safe? Because mm-hmm. safe is open for interpretation.
Sure, exactly.
You know, do you feel safe in terms of welcomed, mm-hmm. or is it physical safety because you fear for your mm-hmm. for your well-being and your life?
Right. That's that very primary different. Data, you know, that's subjective, and right. it's up for, to your point, up for interpretation. And
right.
it doesn't mean it's not real. It's just it's available. But once again, it's the opportunity to really just
Absolutely.
Drill down and see what's really happening. And when, and it is broken down by, you know, North County, South County, yeah. Coast, SLO. To kind of see what's happening in the regions of the county. Just once again, just an opportunity to learn more about the place we call home.
So, Jeff, were you successful?
I was very wow. successful, because I actually found it like 2 seconds after
I know,
I
and you
stopped.
Looked like the little cat that ate the canary when
it's
you did
right here. So, so we have a question. It says, in a usual week, about how many days do you or any other family members read stories or books or picture books with your children under age of 12? That's a very specific question.
Yeah, it is.
But it's one we ask, and it's a telephone question. And we have numbers, you know, 2010, 2013, 2016.
And so is it the same going up? Or?
It's just out of, you know, so every one of the answers, so it's broken down by different times. So every day, 3 to 6 times a week, once or twice a week, or never. And every day in 2010 was 60%. And in 2016, it was 56.5%.
So it went down.
It's gone down a little bit. And then 3 to 6 times a week was 22.4, and then now it's 29.4. So that one came up. So we haven't been reading every day. We've just been reading a few times a week. And then once or twice a week went down.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
So then again, that's raw data. So
right.
then you could make up all kinds of stories
right.
about that. But you then would,
exactly.
if you wanted to not just make up stories, but validate them, because stories I could make up as a mom would be, you know, you get busier,
no time.
You've got all kinds of activities, you've yeah. got, you
your
know,
kids
things,
too busy, who knows, well, there's all kinds of stuff.
You know,
that
sport
could be,
things takes much
oh, yeah.
longer mm-hmm. in the evening, homework's taking longer.
Uh-huh. Yep. So, yeah, this doesn't answer why. It just tells you the numbers.
And so let's talk about the name of this report is Vital Signs, Understanding San Luis Obispo County. It can be located on the web at
actionslo.org.
Very simple. Actionslo.org. And you can download that. You can decide you want to save it and go back on your own computer to get it, or you can leave it on the web and just
yep.
Go back to it, hit
to
it, and do it,
as it.
A, do as it a favorites. Mm-hmm. I've got it on my desktop as
I have a favorite.
Favorites.
Nice.
Yeah.
And just to add one more piece to it, you know, it is free, but it's free because, A, there's a group of volunteers who are working on it for 3 years, releasing it, and then going back to work on it. But there's also an extremely generous community of organizations that are supporting the financial, you know, needs of this to produce this report with, you know, with hiring a consultant and just making sure that the design is done and it's, you know, it's aesthetically pleasing. So there's some serious funds that go into it, and there's
right.
some a right. lot of backing from nonprofits, some public agencies that really believe in this report
mm-hmm.
and. Just, you know, there's the time commitment from the steering committee, but there's also the belief and the commitment from the supporters
right.
from in the community as well. So
right.
I want to thank all of them.
Yeah.
Do you take suggestions from people about things that they'd like to see in the report in the future, or things that they're really thinking aren't accurate, or, you know, just feedback from
Absolutely.
This report? So is there a way for them to do that?
I would imagine if you're just a person out there listening on the radio and you had a comment about the report itself, I think there's an email address on the Action
website, yeah.
Yeah, on the actionslow.org, and then, yeah.
That's what makes this process.
Send in a comment, yeah.
No, that's what makes this process just beautiful. I mean, there's an extremely diverse group of people sitting around the table and talking about this, who have been talking about this for a long time.
Yeah.
But also the welcoming, you know, nature of the group to say, you know, if anyone has any feedback, specific questions, if there's a specific topic that needs to be, you know, brought to light, let's talk about it and get that information for the next report or include it in a folio.
Right.
This is here for...
Or have a discussion about it. You know, our group is very... we have an amazing group of people, and there are no dumb questions, and there are no... You know, we don't belittle anybody on purpose. but not to say it doesn't happen. but we do have a great, fantastic group of volunteers in the action committee. And if they have any feedback whatsoever, I'm 100% confident they feel safe about providing us that feedback, and we'll discuss it as a group. Some of the best questions that we have were brought up just as like, hey, what has anyone thought of that? Or, you know, and we usually do have a roundtable. Well, I know we will. It'll be scheduled because we'll have to go over our questions for the next report.
It speaks to the mission.
And
the group,
we will do it. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, exactly.
So you're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX FM, Central Coast listener-supported public radio station from Salinas to Ventura. If you have just joined us and would like to hear this entire show, you can go back to our website at kcbx.org. Our shows are recorded and archived and available when you are. We have only about 10 minutes, so if you do want to call in with a question or comment, please do so by calling us at 781-3875. I'm joined today by Len Smolberg with the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County and a member of Action for Healthy Community Steering Committee, and Jeff Legato, who is the chair of the Action for Healthy Communities Steering Committee. And again, the number is 781-3875. And with regard to this report, is there something that you guys want to bring up while we've still got about 9 minutes left?
Something in particular?
Something that kind of piqued your interest on this report? Something that you...
Well, there's all kinds of little things in here. One of the things that I just found interesting, and I saw it in a highlight, and I'm curious about it, is the local agricultural electricity consumption went up 28% between 2010 and 2015. And this report does, you know, there's all kinds of stuff about demographics and poverty and homelessness and that. But this is a really, I don't know, just one of those little things that are out there that you see it and it's like, what? How could that go up 28% in those? And that's
electricity consumption?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's from the California Energy Commission. So this is a secondary data source that we've included in the report.
Right.
It is interesting. And you know, I wonder why, you know, are people having to go deeper for their well water, so they have to pump longer?
Interesting.
Growing a different crop that might require electricity other crops.
That might be something to drill down on.
It's just something that kind of struck me as interesting.
Mm. Yeah. Let's take a quick question here from Joe. Joe, are you there?
I am.
Hi. You had a comment or question?
I was just going to mention that HomeShare Slow is up and running.
Ah.
And we are making matches and between home providers and seekers right now.
Oh, and you're talking, you know, and Joe, you're really relating to the difficulty in accessing affordable housing.
Affordable housing out of existing housing stock.
Okay.
That's our goal.
Okay. And Len's looking at me with confusion.
No. Is there a specific population that you want to mention that utilize?
We're working with everyone, but we are very aware of, particularly of elderly women who are trying to get by on Social Security, and so their income is somewhere around $1,800 a month. Mm-hmm. So we are looking at them. They're probably our largest demographic, either living in homes alone or seeking housing.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
Yeah. So that would be an example of someone responding to something that might be highlighted in our report.
Exactly.
With some kind of program to help improve or to help address that situation.
An example of, you know, great that Joe called in, because a great way that this particular nonprofit and Joe can utilize this information is by extracting the information that's relevant to their organization and the kind of services they provide, pulling that data out and being able to demonstrate that not only is there a need as supported by the data, but they have a solution for women who are older, who don't have a spouse to live with. They're living alone. They live in homes by themselves. They have extra room. They own their homes. And perhaps they want to share those homes or be matched with other women who need housing. You know, it's a great way in the community to look at, look, the left hand has this, the right hand needs that. Let's put those two together.
And economics, too. You know,
exactly.
The affordability of such a a collaboration is definitely addresses the cost of housing and access to housing on a fixed budget.
Exactly. So. Yeah, and there are, you know, there in so many ways, I think there are many, many nonprofit organizations in this community, a number of them, and they're providing great services. A lot of times they can collaborate on services. A lot of times we can better define enriching the services that we're offering by looking at what the needs are. Transportation, you mentioned too, was defined as definitely something that needs to be worked on because the layout of the community and the fact that it's difficult to get from one place to another, especially for individuals who have access issues. Other things, Len, we have just a minute or two.
Sure. I just want to once again encourage folks to go online at actionslow.org.
And again, the name of the report?
Is Action for Healthy Communities, Vital Signs, 2016. It's a report. It's the seventh edition of the report. The report's been taking place since 1999. You know, this is...
you got 21 years of data here.
I know. It's exciting. It's a great way to spend an evening. or a Friday night, if you're interested in data. But you know, it's a great resource. You know, it's a great resource for no matter what role you play in the community. Just you know, once again, being informed on what's happening is key, and you know, taking that information and applying it to how individuals see fit. Okay. We're just happy to provide it, and we'll continue to provide it through this group.
Okay. I want to thank my guests for today's show, Len Smolberg, Grants Manager with the Community Foundation, Slo County, and member of Action for Healthy Communities, Jeff Legato, Chair of Action for Healthy Communities and Geographic Information System Specialist for the County of San Luis Obispo Planning and Building Department. Next week, Fred Monroe will be joined by guest Jessica Lynn, an activist, public speaker, and transgender woman, and Chris Roney, the campus representative for the New York Times, as they discuss the importance of diversity on campuses. We really appreciate your suggestions for future shows. If you have a topic you'd like to suggest, please send it to us at voices@kcbx. This show is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX and made possible through the underwriting by generous Joan Geller Sargent. I'm Chris Kington Barker, and thank you for joining me on Central Coast Voices.